So, everyone, officially, this is your welcome to this beautiful day, last day of May. And I hope that those of you who were in the very stormy areas of last week are now enjoying some sunshine and some break in the weather and looking forward to a bright and safe and peaceful summer. We extend our blessings in particular today to all of those who were either directly involved in the great storms of the United States or had family, friends there, or were just peripherally influenced by the very challenging weather patterns that we've been seeing. And we know that for God all things are possible, and within God's grace all healing is possible and miraculous. And so we want to start our blessing call with that affirmation today, and an affirmation that all of these people and losses will be remembered in our heart as we offer the blessing today, and that we will pray for a strong recovery of the life force energy that has made that part of our world such a beautiful, peaceful, and humanly delightful place to live. But in order to start our call and still have time for a presentation, I would really like to invite anyone who wants to ask a question or make a comment. Remember, your entry point is 5-star, and if you have some comment or contribution to make, I hope that you will do it. So I'll be looking on the dashboard for that as I organize my notes here about what I want to say. I don't see anybody coming on board yet, and scanning around looking for any possible entries, but don't see them yet. So we'll. I see a comment from Tom in Chicago. Tom, how are you?
Well, if nobody else wants to talk to you, I sure do.
Okay.
I always do. All right. I just something came upon me a few days ago, and I've been trying it out on other people. I wanted to think what you thought about it.
Okay.
The idea came to mind. If I think about my whole life, this time from the very beginning to right now, how's it going? And I just got a wonderful feeling of everything on balance, you know, the triumphs, the tragedies, and all that. What an adventure. And I just thought I'd share that. And everybody feels the same way when I've asked them.
You know, it's so important that you do that. Because, Tom, when you really do that, you turn your life into an amphitheater where it surrounds your whole being. The past, the present, and the future are all united in it and integrated into the heart center of who you are. So often we get lost in the flow of life, where everything that is in the past is literally behind us as far as perspective goes. And we think the future hasn't happened. But actually our life is like an organic amphitheater that surrounds us. And we can make better new choices from inside an amphitheater than we can just seeing our life progress in a linear way. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for bringing that up. And we have a caller from area code 218. You're on.
Hello, this is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I just had a inquiry. I was listening to the course on consciousness again 2 days ago, and is it true that field of consciousness is the state of unconditional love? Would that be a correct perception?
No, I wouldn't say it would be, because I think we still have choices. And I think consciousness, by its very nature, must contain all the events that have ever happened for humanity so that we can continue learning even from the negative events. Unconditional love comes from the center of your being, which is what's so important about Tom's contribution, where he just decided to center himself inside all of the things that have happened in his life and see that from the center of his life, he could see the good, the bad, the indifferent, embrace it all, integrate it all in a grand picture, and make new choices. Now, in that sense, if you're looking at this unconditionally accepting perspective, then that would be unconditional love.
Yes. And that would be, well, it seems like it was the actual source as consciousness, but I was just inquiring.
Well, I think that's a very good question, and that's a question I think all great thinkers have asked. And so it's very important somewhere along the line that we really ask, well, what is this thing called unconditional love? Only the Creator is capable of absolute unconditional love, because only the Creator is not embedded in some condition. Always, you and I, we're in some condition, whether it's a good condition or a challenging condition or one that's just so boring. We're about to knock our head on the wall to find a change. But there's usually some condition there. The way we as human beings attain a more unconditional presence in life is to love independently of the conditions we're in, and to see people as not the product of their context or their condition. We look beyond the conditions. We love beyond the conditions. One way or the other, we're in a condition. But we look beyond them, and we are forgiving. This is why forgiveness is so powerful and so important. And I needed to present that to you last week in our call. In fact, the importance of gratitude, because along with forgiveness, because it's gratitude withheld that can attach us to a condition, because it's sort of like a condition has been good for us, and we get attached to that condition because it's been good for us, but it's not the whole of our life, and we need to move on. The only way you're going to move on is to express your gratitude and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, or thank you, IBM, or thank you, Notre Dame, or thank you to a friend. I so totally appreciate what you have given me. It gives you the freedom to then receive from other contexts. The same is true of forgiveness. See, forgiveness is not really about the person. It's about what came from a context you experienced with that person. Only God can exonerate a soul. That's it. We don't have the power to do that. That's not in our power to decide. It's not for us to send somebody to hell or heaven. The most absurd arrogance that we could ever employ is that presuming that we have that level of destiny control over another creature. But we can disengage from conditions that have been oppressive or destructive by forgiving them. By forgiving them, we release them, and we're able to step outside them. And so I really think that two of the most important actions, it's kind of like a binary system. The two most important actions we can learn to keep freeing ourselves from being too conditioned by life, whether it's conditioned negatively or conditioned by positive reinforcement of something that should not have control over us is gratitude and forgiveness. We are all conditioned we are all in a state of positive conditioning by something that really should not be controlling us. We had that wonderful experience with a dessert. Now we're eating too much sugar. That's just a simple example. Or we had this wonderful experience with getting a raise in a company where we could afford the home we wanted, and because we afforded the home we wanted, we could send the kids to school, and so on and so on. Now we feel indebted to that company, even though it's not promoting us, it's not rewarding us, we're not learning anything, we've lost all our friends in the company, the politics is terrible, etc. We really need to move on. We feel indebted because we cannot express gratitude and understand that life brings us true, unconditional gifts. Expressing that gratitude frees us, allows us to move on. Just as forgiveness frees us, allows us to move on. Because we as human beings are constantly having to negotiate and navigate our way through conditions. And we only momentarily experience these truly unconditional points of bliss where we can stand above those conditions of life. And these are truly, truly enlightened moments. And I know that all of you have had them from time to time. I pray that you have many of them. But the fact is, we need to understand that being in an incarnate life is part of the conditional world. For example, I could have great honor and respect for the importance of the Arizona rattlesnakes for keeping the ecology in balance. When I see one on the road, I'll go way out of my way to dodge it, not to harm it. And if I see one in my yard, I will not get out the garden hoe. Instead, I'll call the animal control people so they'll come, take a long stick, put it in a bucket, and take it out to the territory where it can do its good. But the last thing I want is one of those rattlesnakes in my home. So I can't say that my love is truly unconditional. Do you see?
Yeah.
But it is unbiased in the sense that I can admire the beauty and the importance of all things. And that's what we as human beings can strive to attain. And in the process of that, we have to understand also that in this great field of consciousness, there still has to be the memory of things like the Holocaust, so we don't do it again. And things like, the fall of the Twin Towers, so we can examine, well, what did we as Americans do to attract this? What conspiracies may have been involved? What hostile actions were involved that we don't want our world to be part of this. We want a better world. We want a world where things like this don't happen. And we pray for a world where things like this don't happen. And we can actually pray that prayer without assigning blame to any one person, without assigning blame in a conspiratorial sense, and to that degree we can be unconditional, because our prayers can be that we learn from these things and we build a better future. And so that's how we humans can be unconditional, in that we see, we look for the silver lining, and we embrace the silver lining, and we ask that God bring us the love to heal. That we see the great weather and geologic catastrophes of this spring. We don't love the fact that these happened. And we cannot actually, as humans, look at the cosmos and see them put down to the scale of a flea, because they hurt. And people we love were hurt. But we can embrace love as the answer. We can embrace love as what brings together our human family to rise above and beyond these events. And they will be part, it will all be part of our consciousness. Now, when we can embrace all the negative, all the positive, all the past, all the future, and then stand in the middle of it, like in the now, and be the center of that amphitheater, that is the highest and the most neutral place we can be. And this is what we basically teach the blessing givers how to do, to arrive at this highest place of, shall we say, near unconditional love, as close as a human being can be to this unconditional love, to offer their whole life as a blessing to the world. This is what we do in the Blessing Course. This is a huge subject about how we realistically get there. There's a lot of people who talk about that in platitudes, but those platitudes aren't realistic. Let's face it. You embrace one of those platitudes one day, and the next day you're in a dark night of the soul, because these conditions in the earth are real. These conditions in life are real. But there is a way we can get into the center of our heart and be in the amphitheater of life, where we can neutralize our presence to the point that we really do lift the world up. And that's what we're doing with the blessings, where we make the absolute most positive possibility come about for you, for each one on this call, for everyone you touch in your life. And that's why there's such a ripple effect to these blessings. Now, this is what Yeshua's life did, and it changed the world completely. He didn't wash away all the crimes of Rome. He didn't plan to. He didn't wash away all the past crimes of Egypt or China or Rome or Mesopotamia, the Sumerians or the Greeks or any other tyrannical nations that have ever lived. He didn't wash away all the leprosy on the world. He didn't take it away. What he introduced was this place of centering where we can all go and we can transmute the totality of our life into the highest place of transcendental possibility. Now, when this begins to happen for enough people on this earth, there will be a total, complete, transcendental paradigm change. And I fully believe that is the rapture. That is the second coming. When enough of us are in this place that happens, that's what we're doing in the Blessing Seminars. And that's why I keep reminding you, if there's any way you can be here, please be here. You will make such a difference in the world. And today I gave a special blessing for the blessing givers so that they can be on this call giving a blessing. Because the more we do it in unison, the more we arrive at this place collectively. Now, both of your questions, it's so symptomatic of what happens when we're connected in spirit, is each one who has a question or a comment is so right on purpose with what needs to be discussed. Because both of you really, really set me up for what I need to talk about next. Remember, I gave you the turn signals for the drive, for your steering wheel in life, which are forgiveness and gratitude last week. Those are the two powers that actually lift you out of the conditions so that you can be in this more unconditional place. And it's what we're hoping for is a very realistic, humanly possible unconditional place of acceptance and understanding, of embracing and seeking all of the positive, forgiving the negative, being grateful. These two actions will get you there. But there's something else I want to talk about because there's another power involved. And because we're losing touch with this power, this is really, really, I believe, the main reason the rate of disease is rising in the world. The rate of obesity is rising in the world. The quality of our food is diminishing in the world. Okay. And I know all of you have experienced this. The very things I'm talking about, the quality of communication between people. It's so much easier now to have misunderstandings than it used to be. It's almost as if 20 years ago you could start talking to someone and they would have the same thought you had, and so it was very easy to build a conversation. Now it's very easy to build a misconversation. And what's happening? What is this all about? Well, there's a lot of people assigning negative causes to this. And there are negative causal factors, of course, such as the fear of what's going on in the world, the too many years we've been at war, the disinformation that we have in the world, the anger, and the financial stress. Yes, there are many contributing factors, but that's all I want. That's the as much power as I want to give these things is to call them contributing factors. They're not the cause. They're not the cause. And now I want to talk about the cause. But in order to get to the cause, I've got to step behind the cause to talk about something that is the cause of your life. And that is another dimension of consciousness. So see, you were setting me up for this, and so was Tom, and I'll show you how Tom was also. And this is how consciousness works. In the study of consciousness, we find that there are different frequencies of consciousness, and these frequencies of consciousness function in different ways to accomplish different functions. And researchers and scientists and therapists who study and use these for application and therapy have named these different frequencies of consciousness. And so far we've located about 25 frequencies, but predominantly there are four. The predominant four are the beta consciousness that we use in most of our daily life. Then a slightly slower frequency, which is alpha, and then a little slower frequency than that that we call delta, and then the very slowest frequency of theta. And then the very slowest frequency of all, which we call delta. And these are the predominant frequencies of our lives. We've talked about this in depth in our conscious healing course. And I would highly recommend that course to someone who's interested in the correlation of consciousness and spirituality. It's available as an online course. There are a few other frequencies that we talked about. One is gamma. And gamma is that accelerated consciousness that you see in moments of genius or moments of high accomplishment in Olympic athletes and people who do heroic actions. When they get what we call the second wind or that second inspiration, they go into this gamma wave. Well, That's not the purpose. We don't have the time to discuss that. But one thing you might be interested to know is that these researchers have used letters from the Greek alphabet to name these frequencies of energy. So I'm going to do the same, and I'm going to name a frequency of energy that you live, breathe, swim in, and it surrounds you, fills you, and carries you through your everyday. And that I'm going to call lambda, L, for life, the life consciousness. You know, we talk about life energy. We talk about life as if it's a form of energy because we see it arrive at birth and depart at death. And we know that as we go through our days, some days we have more of it, some days we have less of it. We know that when we're becoming ill, we have to invest all of our life energy in healing and have none left over for other forms of creative endeavor. But what we fail to see is actually this life energy has a consciousness to it. And I want to demonstrate how true that is and how you practice this and take it for granted. For example, every prayer you pray is imprinted on your life consciousness. When you make an affirmation, it's printed on your life consciousness. Many healing technologies, such as Reiki, I won't give away any secrets here, but they do use symbols that are imposed upon the life consciousness energy. And this is not new. There are very many ancient healing technologies. Yeshua used many symbols that he would imprint on the life consciousness of people. Now, whenever we have bad or dark thoughts, keep in mind that you're imprinting those on your life consciousness. And that has a direct impact upon your body and your health. When you have positive, encouraging, optimistic thoughts, you're actually imprinting those thoughts on your life consciousness. And that begins to bring answers. So it's not just that you nurture your body with food. As Yeshua said, you actually nurture your body with love. But it's not just the feeling of love from your heart or the attitude of love or the orientation of love. It's all the constructive thinking that you impose upon your life energy. That makes a huge difference. Now, I want to give you just a little idea of this life energy that fills your body. It has this life consciousness. It has the innocence of a kitty and a puppy. And probably all of you, at least once in your life, have had a pet. And let's just think about times you've had a puppy or a doggy or a kitty. Now think about this. If all you ever did was scold that dog, what a poor, bedraggled, depressed existence that dog would live. Oh my gosh, I hate to think about that poor little creature and how it would feel and how probably young it would die. But now think of another little dog, and he's only been loved, and you walk into that dog with a new toy. All he can do is jump up and down, bark, wag his tail, and go, he can't wait to get that toy in his mouth. Well, friends, this is the way your life consciousness is. Life consciousness has an innocence to it. I mean, it has a total innocence, like a kitty and a puppy. And it is so responsive to your thoughts. It's so responsive to your feelings. And you may be creating in your life the equivalent of either that bedraggled, poor old dog or that enlivened, delightful little puppy. That's the way life energy behaves. Now, what are we doing in the world with our life energy? Well, look at the planet. Look at the pollution. Look at our ocean. look at our food that's being sprayed with insecticides and herbicides. And then we get it and we nuke it in a microwave. How much life consciousness is even getting to our body? One of the reasons we can go and sit by the ocean for hours, come back and feel healed or our life transformed is because we've immersed ourselves in life energy. One of the reasons we can walk through the woods or a beautiful garden, or we can just do our own gardening with a few tomato plants and we feel totally enlivened is we have connected to life energy. So that's the third factor. Now, I'm actually going to have a whole call dedicated to this on our Yeshua on Health and Wellness in a couple of months. And so you might want to think about, I would highly recommend enrolling in that course because that course is really all about this. It's all about how to empower not only the physical, energetic side of your life energy, but the consciousness of it. Don't miss the fact that lambda is life consciousness, and it affects what happens in your life. But we're now at the point where we need to start a blessing. And I welcome everyone here who is a new member of our call. And I'll just give you a brief introduction. You should have received one in the mail. That's why I like people to sign up so you get the introduction and you know what's happening for you on the blessing. But I also realize some of you just came on the call because your friends and your family gave you a number and said show up. But basically, this is what's involved with the blessing, is we are reconnecting ourselves with all parts of our existence, with the Heavenly Creator, with the Holy Spirit, with Yeshua, who embraces and holds us deeply and truly in our hearts, with our beautiful Mother Earth, who has supplied us with life consciousness and life energy, and we're embracing all of our experiences that have given us the complete consciousness to truly make informed decisions about what we want for our life and the experience to do something about it, to make better choices, to have a better life. And we know from Yeshua's teaching that separation is really our impairment, because when we do not embrace the totality of our life, including both heaven and earth, we are limiting ourselves from all of the possibilities. So this blessing is designed to connect you with heaven and earth. So I ask that you remove your shoes and socks, have your feet on the ground, touching the ground, sitting in a chair, please. Unless you're sick. Now you can, if you're sick, we make this exception because that's the best you can do. If you can prop up on pillows, then that would be a good idea because we use the flow of gravity to pull this subtle energy through your body from the top of your head to your spine. And then through your legs it flows into the earth. And now all I ask that you do is that you put your mind on the park bench because it's not big enough to do what needs to be done. It's not innocent enough. It's not unconditional enough to receive the fullness of what will be offered to you. We appreciate it. We bless it. We thank it. We set it on the park bench. Now, please be in your heart. And I ask you for 3 minutes to pray your prayer. Whatever your prayer is, the blessing will strengthen your prayer. Your prayer will be united with heaven and earth and all the possibilities therein, that it may be heard and implemented more completely, more fully, more fully. And I will pray to Yeshua, and then for these 3 minutes while you're praying, the energy of the Holy Spirit will pass through you, conveyed by Yeshua from God, and collected and received by the earth to support you and return back through you to heaven. So we begin. Start your prayer and I will start mine. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for all of these gathered today, for we know that they gather in faith of their relationship to God, their presence on this earth, and their desire to be the greatest and the best presence on this earth they can be. Many of them bring troubles and need for healing physically. We ask that you be with them and give them all that they can receive. Many of them bring hopes for a better world. We ask that you fill them with the courage, the encouragement, and their enthusiasm to fully, fully embrace the consciousness of this great dream. We thank you for bringing the hope to us. We thank you for strengthening our faith, and most of all, for holding our endless and ceaseless connection between heaven and earth, that one day, in the fullness of all that may be, according to God's will, there may be heaven on earth. Amen. the energetic part of your blessing is now complete, and I would ask that you go and rest for 7 minutes and assimilate. Just allow this energy to fill every part of your body and move into the cells of your body in a restful, non-thinking state. Keep your mind on the park bench still and just be there. Allow the blessings of God to rain upon you. And I wish you a blessed week. And hope you return next week for more blessings if you're so inclined. We love having you. We love having you part of this community. So I send you my love and my wishes for a wonderful week. Bye-bye from me.